Hello and welcome to Untold. Hope everyone is doing well. We're back and we are the podcast that goes behind the scenes to discover the untold stories of food and drink brands. I've got a fantastic guest today, Mr. Stu McDonald, who is the founder of Manulife Peanut Butter. Stu escaped a job in accountancy and moved to Argentina. Got a job with a peanut butter social enterprise. Inspired by this, he started making and selling his own in the local community, but in Argentina was selling very little, so he decided to head back to the UK where they'd have much more luck and were peanut butter obsessed. He tracked down the family behind the peanut estate in Argentina, and that's where the peanut butter still comes from today. I'm sure you'll know the brand, I'm sure you'll know the founder. They've gone from creating peanut butter to now being stocked across nationally across the UK and internationally in some of the biggest places. It's been a very inspiring story. I for one am incredibly inspired by it. Anyway, enough waffle, let's bring Stu in. Stu, how are you doing? Welcome to Untold.
Harry, I'm really good. Can I just say that is really, really good intro music. I was feeling quite
hyped. You bopping along.
It's a fun, we
haven't changed the music since we started, and I still get that same jiggly bop when we go. How you doing, mate?
Really good. Thanks very much for having me. This is without a doubt the most professional podcast I've ever been on.
We try.
Yeah, it's cool.
Good.
Well done.
That's what we like to hear. Thank you. No, it's it's been a lot of fun, and we're back. This is a new series. We took a bit of time off, but it's great. Let's jump into it, man. I think to what I always love to do to start with is just give our listeners a bit of color to you. So obviously we've done a bit of an intro, but now I'd love to hear it from your side.
Yeah.
Where you come from, what makes you tick, and where Manulife has come from.
Okay. I ramble a lot, so cut me off if it's going kind of tangential. So I guess first off, part of a fantastic family, was very, very lucky to grow up with a doctor and a dentist as my dad.
Amazing.
Which, when I was basically faced with the decision of quitting my job to start this, it wasn't a no-brainer, but I was just like, the worst that's going to happen is I'll move back with mum and dad.
Which
is like super, super, super fortunate.
Yeah.
In terms of how Manulife got going, and I say this to a lot of people, it was basically I had a job that I really knew I wasn't going to like, and I did it for a bit. And so when stuff got really tough, as it always does, I was like, at least I'm not auditing some big petrochem company in Reading.
Nice.
Now things have changed massively. So I went from like no risk, very happy-go-lucky family boy, to now I've got my own family. So I've got a wife who I actually met trying to sell her a jar of peanut butter at a yoga festival in like 2017.
That's so good.
She didn't buy one for ages.
Does she like it now?
She loves it. Like, eats it every day. And this is the mad thing, right? Like, we eat Manulife every day, which I think is like pretty good thing because a lot of people get bored of the product.
Yeah.
I've also got twin girls.
Oh, amazing.
So without Manulife, I'd probably be boring as hell because I'd be an accountant. I'd be single and I wouldn't have kids. So like, it's pretty amazing.
Yeah, that's wonderful.
Yeah.
What a story.
Yeah. So I think I'll cut it there, but there's probably lots more to tell.
Amazing, man. No, I love that. And I think I think just picking up on that, it's so key that the fact that you eat it every day is actually, to listeners probably sounds a bit nuts, but it's key, right?
Yeah.
Like, I think you've found a lot of founders out there don't actually consume their products every day, and to your point, get a bit bored of it.
Exactly. I think it's quite useful because it kind of goes, spit plug, goes literally everything.
Like, and it is like no other.
Yeah, exactly. So, if I'm having it every day, you should be having it at least three times. So.
Well, that's it. Yeah. That's it. I mean, I love it. And I consume the products as well. My wife consumes a product, and she rarely, like, she knows obviously that we run a podcast. She obviously doesn't listen to it.
Yeah.
And she rarely bats an eyelid at the guests coming on. All of our guests are amazing.
Yeah.
But she genuinely consumes Manulife. And I was like, for a split second in her eyes, a bit of a rock and roll star, that you were coming on the podcast, because I was telling her as she was scooping out Manny Life from the jar.
That's amazing.
To spread on her. And I was like, oh yeah, I've got Stu coming on. And she's like, Stu, I was like, the founder of Manny Life. She's like, really? Yes. I've made it in my wife's eyes. I've made it.
That's so fantastic. Do you have kids?
I have a brand new daughter. Yeah, well, a brand new daughter.
You should give her this one.
A Mama Life.
Yeah, a Mama Life to a mother like
that. That is exactly what's going to happen.
And there's some quite cool copy on the back, which I'm sure.
Love it. Amazing, amazing. I'm going to take that back tonight, and she's going to be very happy. Yeah. Look, I want to make sure that we get really into it here. So. As we know, as you know, as the listeners at home know, we try and focus on some of the tougher times in building the journey. I think we had a really lovely conversation just literally before we press record about LinkedIn and the way that it can.
It's the worst. I hate it so much. Like, and when I'm on it creating content, I'm fully bought into that bullshit where it's like everything's going super well. But when you're on it as a reader, like, you just come off feeling terrible. And I'm a bit ashamed to say that, because when you see people doing well, it should be like this great inspiration, like what I can learn from it. But there's something in the back of my mind that I've always struggled to get rid of, which is like, why am I not doing as well as this? Yeah. And they're obviously,
I think that's natural. I think that's natural, and I think it leads really nicely onto what we're going to talk about. But I think it is that, isn't it? You're it's other people's successes, which is amazing, but you, as a founder, you instantly get to a point where you're like, why are we not better?
Yeah.
Whereas actually, if you rewound five years and someone said to you, look, you'd be sat here where Man Life is today.
Yeah. Chatting to Harry, it'd be a dream come true. Yeah,
exactly. Love it.
There are people on it, though, where when they do, and you just feel like, that's great. Do you know what I mean? There's a few like genuine good eggs. You're just like, this is fantastic.
Yeah. No, I agree. Yeah. I agree. And it's either that or you're being sold to... I had a message the other day from someone that was selling like tech.
Yeah.
And they were like, oh, I've seen your business needs apps. I was like, really?
Yeah. I know. It's impulse-based
snacks. Like,
but get this. I think I mentioned this before, but because I get like 100 ads a day, and I was like, this is rubbish. So what I'm going to do is I'm going to make the profile private so you can only add me. This is quite embarrassing.
Yeah.
Add me if you know my email. Set that up, got like an ad every week, and I was like, fuck this, I'm gonna put it back because I feel shit. Yeah. But wasn't it? It's pathetic.
No.
Yeah.
But it's you're so right. It breeds. I mean, it goes to like every form of social media, really. I mean, we could sit here and chat for hours about social media, but it breeds that instant gratification. I remember, funny, we were mentioning Hugh Thomas, but just before as well. And I remember him in a talk once, and he was saying like, just, you've got to get to a point where you ignore that dopamine hit, because that's what it is. It's a quick dopamine hit in like count or follow account or whatever that metric is. And actually, but no, that leads us on really nicely. So just for the listeners at home to sort of bring some color to it, I have a chat, a pre-chat before we hit record with all of our guests, and Stu and I had a really lovely conversation around compulsion for success rather than sort of striving for success through pure joy. I think I'm right in saying that, and how that led towards burnout essentially. Yeah. You've got twins in that, you've got a wife in that there's so much happiness that comes out of this as well. But talk me through that feeling of compulsion and what that looks like to you, and sort of start that journey process for us.
Yeah. So this is going to be like a counseling session live on X. I haven't actually thought about this that much, but I think it's quite common. There's a guy who runs a podcast called Diary of a CEO. It's pretty popular. It'll be like this one day. And he talks about it. He clearly has it as well, where it's just like, you're not sure whether you're driving or whether you're being driven by like something external.
Yeah.
And it's, I think it comes from like a deep, like fire, that's not, how do I explain this? It's like when I used to, I still do, when I get up in the morning, like crack of dawn and get going, it's not like, oh, let's like go seize the day.
Yeah.
It's like a get fucking out of bed and like go after it.
Yeah.
And I think for the early stages of Manny Life, which is kind of ridiculous when you think about it, like the number one driver was like fear of failure. Yeah. So I remember, and this is, looking at this is absolutely mental. I remember was like 2 months in, we were still getting up pretty much every morning, going to the Rugby Club kitchen. I would like pre-prep. My friends would all come with us, wouldn't pay them. So I'd be up from like 4 a.m. and then working through the day, and was just kind of completely obsessed with the idea of keeping them having fun, which meant like a lot of pressure on me. I remember dropping my older brother off at work and just like breaking down into tears because I felt so much pressure from a bloody peanut butter brand that I liked. But that wasn't even anything.
Yeah.
It was like a Rugby Club kitchen. It was basically like a hobby.
Yeah.
But I think from the outset, that was, there was just like a, it was like a drive which was so powerful, but not from a very, probably not a very good place.
Yeah.
And I think now, like getting to a place where it is a bit more explorative, got an amazing team now, kind of just rebuilt it.
Yeah.
And the load is spread much better. Got two like kind of leaders in the team, a girl called Lou, a guy called Johnny, who are just like amazing.
Yeah, fantastic.
And it's probably shared, but for a long time it was just like,
yeah,
all on
yeah,
me.
Yeah.
And there was quite a lot of, yeah, wasn't that nice? And there have been moments in my life which have been amazing, like incredible. But I think if someone asks me, have I like enjoyed it? It's not a very straightforward question to answer. Yeah, the answer is probably like, the majority of the time, no.
Yeah,
but it is kind of worth it. It's worth it to just create. I'm like obsessed, compelled by the idea of creating something and creating these little moments for people. And that's the bit that I enjoy. The bit I enjoy is like hearing about your wife having it, or hearing it, overhearing someone speaking about it in the pub.
Yeah,
or shopping at Sainsbury's and you see someone like about to pick up a jar of something else, you might have tried that one and they get it. Or even better, walking to Sainsbury's or Waitrose and like you see someone picking your jar up the shelf and you're like, hi, I'm a student, like, run it, and you have like a 20-minute chat about how they discovered it in like a farm shop years ago.
Yeah. Yeah.
Those are the cool bits, and it's all the people elements bits that are the best.
And I think that is such a key point to touch upon, because as founders of a, well, so that's, as a founder of Many Life Peanut Butter that has had huge growth there, you have to wear every hat in the entire business.
Yeah.
And there's no way your skill set stretches every
probably
side
stretches
of the business.
Like this bit here.
And but yet the pressure mounts on everything, and it's like you kind of end up doing an amazing job, but really it's like your job is everything. And I don't really know how to explain it, other than you go, we get an order in and who's processing that.
And that's for the start, was it like relentlessly. It was funny though, because like at the very early days, well, not until we were what, like just under $1 million turnover, it was like was doing lots and lots and lots, but because we was doing so much, it was, I was doing more like front of house things, out and about, kind of peddling the streets, which is what I loved. And the ordering, I was pretty, pretty rubbish job of it, but it would just happen and you almost didn't have time to like think about anything else.
Yeah.
It was only when the business became like substantially bigger than that over COVID, and my role kind of transitioned from out and about face of brand selling to like, I guess, managing director is probably the title.
Yeah.
That I just started like really not liking it at all, because I was in the office all the time, was just thinking about like objectives and like one-to-ones, wasn't spending any time with customers.
Yeah.
And it's probably because I wasn't that good at it, so I didn't like carve out that time for it. And but I think one thing that more founders should do, and I'm not sure why they don't, but it's like, as soon as the business can afford it, if that's not your thing, just get someone in or someone's in. And Louise and Johnny, who are like incredible, they now like run the front end and back end of the business, which means that I can kind of spend more time doing innovation, doing stuff like this.
Yeah, amazing.
Like a year and a half ago, I'd have got this invite, and I'm like, shit, like, I really want to do this, but I don't have time.
Which
is just not good.
No
one else can do this stuff.
That's it. And it's amazing the shift that happens, and you watch it in brands that come on the show, the shift that happens when they then go, right, it is now you are Manulife, you are the guy behind the brand that people want to listen to and see and speak to, and are the inspiring element there. Right, I think that must
and
be.
Objectively, that is so much more fun than like making peanut butter in a kitchen.
Setting objectives,
exactly. For sure, like labeling,
amazing. But then then you've done the hard yards. You deserve to be where you are, right?
At The Savourist, we can't run our own podcast and not talk about our wonderful snacks. We have a range of crunch hits, which are made from edamame, black bean, puff rice. They're bundled together and seasoned with Thai chili or sizzling barbecue. They pack a punch of crunch and are honestly the go-to snack that you should be heading for in your cupboard. They're high protein, they're low calorie, and our mission is to end the healthy, tasty tension. It says it all, really. Healthy snacks that taste absolutely banging. Head on over to our website and grab some. Ta-da.
That compulsion, that sort of innate drive that's inside you is wonderful, because that's what's driven to get the brand to here, right?
Yeah.
Where do you think that's come from? Was that in Stu as a younger person, pre-Manny Life?
Probably not. So I was always like described as basically horizontal, like did quite at school, was quite intense but very, very, very chilled.
Yeah.
And then I think a change probably came, I'm not sure how it led to it, but I basically got like really, really, really ill when I was 15 16, like should have taken a year off school, managed to not. Quite funny, the thing that I had got a few years later, I saw it in, do you remember the series Scrubs?
Yeah.
So I saw it in Scrubs, and then I saw it in House, and both people had it died. So I was like, part of me was like, shit, but part of me was like, yeah, fucking made it. Like, and I think from that, I'm not sure whether it was like part chip on my shoulder, part whatever, but all of a sudden I was like, I've got to do something out of the ordinary and like something extraordinary.
Yeah.
Not the giant peanut butter man is extraordinary, but
no it is.
And then
I think just on that point, just really quickly, I think one of the things I also always say to founders that come on here is like, for us it's very easy to get wrapped up in like to the LinkedIn point, to the Challenger brand point, where like you're guaranteed on WhatsApp groups with your Ollie's, with your nice wines, with your Jimmy's iced coffees, with your like, and the next or the comparison is always someone that is slightly further ahead of you. Mm. Whereas when you take yourself out of it and go, you've started a brand from finding peanuts in Argentina and it's now sat on the supermarket shelves in the UK, the majority of the population of the UK would go, fuck me, that's extraordinary. Do you know what I mean?
Yeah.
Like, and it's very easy to get wrapped up in the like, oh yeah, it's fine, everyone does it. Because in our world, everyone does do it, but they don't. And I think when you take a step back, it's a really nice way. And I think that on in any level, like a lot of our listeners I know are people who are aspiring to set up brands and who have maybe taken the plunge but haven't got to the stage that you're at yet. Mm. And I think even just that beginning bit, that first bit to go, I want to do this, is huge, because you're going, I'm going to break the norm. I'm going to break the, like, you could have carried on your accountancy career. And I mean, how different would you be?
Yeah, I swear, quite, sorry.
It's fine. Yeah. It's fine. So do I.
Yeah. Yeah, no, that is true. And I get, and so funny, like this is so useful from like a emotional standpoint as well, Harry. Thanks very much. But I think one of the things that we do actually hear quite a lot, which does feel good when you pause, is like before Manny Life launched, everyone was like, the peanut butter categories like wrapped up. There's no space.
Yeah.
And I think for the first kind of couple of years, everyone was like, it's a write-off, like they'll be gone.
Is that because of the innovation from Pip and Nut?
I think probably like she came in and they came in and made it a bit younger. We often get compared to, I think we've got really just distinct customers, actually, it's quite interesting. And I think there probably was that. And she did a really good job of like turning it from brown, green, boring to like vibrant, and then we leveled it up by making it like properly foody.
Products you can't compare the product, they're two completely different products, right?
I think this is the thing, right? And this is again like the kind of demon, our product is so fucking good, like we should be like way ahead of where we are, is what I think about most people, which again is like partly drive, so good, but partly probably not that helpful.
And so I want to just take it back to like the moment where you guys, your first big listing, talk to me about the first one where you go, that was the one where you got, I mean, I'm sure you still get mega excited about all the listings, but that was the one where you went, okay, fuck me, this is going to change the business.
So it's interesting, and it's not what you'd expect. So in, what would it be, 2017, we were like on the brink of running out of money, as we've been loads of times, but like this was serious. It wasn't, because it wasn't loads of money, like my debt wasn't scary. There was a time where it was scary.
Yeah.
And we got a last minute order from TK Maxx, which was the biggest, I think it was like 10 grand, and we'd been doing like $3,000 turnover at that point. And that was like a holy moly, this is. That was one that was actually exciting, like probably exciting at the time. And I remember the feeling. The really interesting one, and which was objectively transformational, was when we listed in Waitrose. And I remember, like, we kind of thought it was happening for a while, and it was properly protracted. And we got the first order, or like confirmation that was definitely happening. And I was in the office, it was a couple of the guys, but one in particular who's just rejoined us, actually Jamie. And I got the news, and I was like, cool, like, get back to it. And I remember Jamie put his hand on my shoulder and was like, Stu, we just got a listing in Waitrose. Like, what the fuck are you doing? So we went out, had a beer outside for like 20 minutes, and I was just like straight back at it.
Yeah.
Which, again, in a way is good, but in a way is so bad. Like, really. And I remember hearing a talk from the guy, or was actually part of the panel, the guy who founded, what's that, Coco de Mama?
Yeah.
And he was like, because he'd sold it, and the guy was like, what would you change? And he just said, if I could do one thing, I would celebrate those moments with everyone, the team, my family, because they only happen once. And I remember getting like quite emotional.
I think it's such a hard one, though, because anybody that has, any business that has scaled successfully says exactly the same thing.
Yeah.
But I think it is not, I don't think it's the actual celebration element of it.
Yeah.
I think it's the being present in the moment.
Yeah.
Because you could go out, and to your point, you go out and it's 20 minutes and a beer,
and
you're out of that beer almost guaranteed you're thinking about what is going.
You
could fly to fucking LA to celebrate, but your brain still isn't there, therefore you're not celebrating it.
I completely agree. And I don't know why that's jumped me, but do you watch that documentary about Michael Jordan, the Bulls, but Last Dance? And there's that bit where they talk about his superpower, and his superpower, which again, like, I wish I had, is he was just eternally present. And there was this thing about, like, when Michael was asked, do you not worry about missing a shot? He was like, why would I worry? Because I haven't taken it yet. And I think that is, if you can dial that in, which I guess is what meditation is all about, then you're like next level. Even conversations with the team. I feel like there's always something in the back of my mind. I think you can definitely tell, right?
Yeah, 100%. I'm exactly the same. And it you miss. I try and work really hard at this, but that's a lie. I go through phases of working hard at it.
Yeah.
I go through phases of being like, I really need to dial in. Like, having a little one really helped.
Yeah.
And I was saying this to my wife the other day. Like, I used to, she's only 16, 17, so, but like, I used to get annoyed. Like, last few weeks, she'd give her to me and I'd be like, oh my God, you're really cute, this is amazing. And I'd have her here, and I was trying to do like emails on my phone and do other shit. And now I'm just like, the last couple of weeks, certainly at Easter weekend, we went away with a little one. And you can't, when you're holding a little baby, you physically can't do anything else because they need all of your attention. And I was like, that is the only time, I think, in the last 5 years, 6 years, where I've been fully present, because I've resisted the temptation to be like, oh, for God's sake, like, Soph, take her, and just been like, this is amazing. I can't physically do anything else other than that.
Yeah.
Well, like, if someone's calling, it's like, I can't answer.
Yeah.
And if they do, it's like, she's going to start crying. Yeah. So,
and if you do, that's the worst. You're a terrible person.
And it's quite nice. I'm really pleased you brought it up, because that celebration, that being present bit is... it's two evils, because you're like, without it, like, it's a really good thing to lean in on, because that's why Manny Life has got to where it is, because you've got that innate drive inside you. But it's a negative thing, because you miss out on stuff within life, but it's just a sacrifice.
Yeah, and if you don't transition eventually or take lots of breaks, which again, when you're in that mindset, it's quite hard, like, you will burn out. And I did in like quite a serious way, actually.
Yeah. How talk me through that.
Oh mate, it was absolutely horrendous. But again, like, in hindsight, like, completely ludicrous. And it's so funny how when you lack the opportunity to get that proper perspective, just how like in the tunnel you can get. And ironically, this was at the period where Manny Life, like, we just quadrupled in size. We'd kind of tailed off because the market attacked. We were the fastest growing peanut butter brand in the country, like pounds and percent, which is quite rare for a brand our size. But then, I don't know, like, somewhat inexplicably, I'm sure if we unpacked it, I could figure out what happened. I just started feeling like horrific. And it was like a slow grind and descent. And I've never really spoken about this, but we'll do it now. We'll see if we can approve it after this. But like, okay, so end of 2020, it like started to feel a bit weird. Was saying no to stuff like this because I felt too much on, which was ridiculous, because even though I was on, like, I'd know more on than before.
Yeah.
Around, so like, progressively worse and worse and worse. Around kind of April 21, I would start, like, maybe once a week, I would like break down, like, completely randomly.
Yeah.
Got to progressively worse.
And when you say break down, like, just up, like, as
in
tears.
like sobbing. It was completely ridiculous. And the thing about now, it's like, what the fuck was going on? But like, what's happening? But because I'd had objectively far tougher times before, and the way I'd got through it was just like grind. I carried on doing that. Got to, I guess, like the end of the summer, maybe mid-summer. So I was pregnant, we were moving, and that maybe played a part, but not consciously.
Yeah.
And I was having like a panic attack like every day.
Yeah.
It was just like, watch the Lewis Capaldi documentary. It was
my God, that's amazing.
Yeah, they luckily didn't have like, I didn't have Tourette's to his degree, but I was definitely at like a twitch.
Yeah.
And Louise in my team kind of spotted it before everyone, and she was just like, what's going on? I was like, not sure.
Yeah.
And then that was like, even then, like, didn't stop. I worked another 2 months, and then it got to like end of September, and I was just like, pull the ripcord. Had to get out. And I ended up, and that we found like an interim person, because Lou was pregnant as well. So she gave birth a week after my wife gave birth. So like two leaders of the business gone.
Yeah.
Because otherwise she would have taken over.
Yeah.
And so even then, when I pulled the ripcord, like, we spent a month and a half trying to find someone to, I guess, replace me temporarily. And what ended up happening was I took a 3.5 week holiday, which wasn't even, because I was dipping in, and just came back feeling way better.
Yeah, amazing.
But then because I've been so low, I came out better and probably wasn't in tune with like the degree to which that change had affected the guys.
But in
hindsight, I needed a 3.5 week holiday.
Yeah, amazing.
Which is just like basic thing to have, right?
Yeah. But you get lost. I think that this is why I love this, like, what we do at Untold is listening to stories like that, because it is that we live in a society where everyone chucks mental health around like it's eating a burger, but it's not. Everyone is different. Everyone is, and it's become a buzzword. Whereas actually, like, you really need to look after it. Like, it's like you break your arm, you put a cast on it. You have a panic attack. Like, I went through phases of having panic attacks as well. I've ended up in hospital with it where I thought it was a heart attack. Mm. And you just can't, there's no way of explaining it other than you just fucking have to stop.
Yeah.
It's like you break your leg, you're not going to carry on walking on it.
Yeah.
And if you do, you're an idiot. But like because it's like physical.
Yeah.
Yeah. And but you can't see it, therefore you don't, there's nothing. Mm. Whereas I think it's really refreshing hearing that actually you go, I can imagine at the time, the anxiety around what was happening to you must have been crippling.
Yeah.
And actually, you fix it in 3 weeks.
Yeah.
Whereas I bet before you'd built it up in your head that this is going to be a long term, because I certainly had. I thought I'd be having panic attacks the rest of my life.
Yeah. Yeah.
And then, for me, it was a bit of therapy. For you, it was a bit of time off. And like that is,
yeah.
I mean, you're then back in the game and everyone benefits because your team
are pretty annoying anyway.
Hi all, just quickly, I want to introduce you to my friends at Spring & Tonic PR, who are also this series podcast sponsors. They are my own trusted PR partners for The Savourist. What I love about Spring & Tonic is it's run by two wonderful ladies, Emily and Jess. They're a small but mighty team. It is just the two of them, and thanks to years in the industry, they completely understand the startup, scale-up, food and drink space, and how to get meaningful cut-through in consumer and trade media. Having worked with some of the most successful and exciting names in food and drink, they really are an industry go-to. So if you're looking to make tangible difference to your business, build your brand equity through PR, I honestly would look no further. Get in touch with them at Spring & Tonic PR to find out more. Ta!
I think one thing on that actually is quite interesting is no one else tends to notice because you always hide it. But if it does get to the stage where someone does notice and they're not your partner.
Yeah.
So Louise, commercial director, noticed, like you're probably beyond the brink.
Yeah, yeah.
So if someone kind of outside the inner circle is like, are you okay? Like it's probably time to take
the time. Yeah, yeah, yeah. 100%. 100%. And I think when you think about it, it's literally everything. Like my wife says to me, she's like, you're working too hard. Mm. And I'm like, yeah, but I'm not sat at my desk. And she's like, yeah, but when you're eating, you're checking your emails. When we're watching something, you're doing something else. I think as founders of businesses, it is just like, it's just always on. There's no off switch. You don't leave it somewhere because you're just constantly thinking about that. And then on top of that, you've got to your point, the kind of what's next. It's like you get the Waitrose listing and you're like, great, but where's the Tesco's listing?
For sure. Do you think, because I've started thinking about this quite a lot, do you think that always being, like, you can't stop always being on your mind. I think that's just like a symptom of the thing, symptom of where you are. But do you think always being on in terms of like emails is a big one, is actually useful, or do you think it's like a drain?
I don't know the answer to it. I think I'm probably worse when I turn them off because I think what it is finding time, and I have no idea, but I think what it is finding time. I've recently started going to the gym, right? And this is after like 3-4 series of founders coming in talking about burnout and being like, exercise, and clearly looking at me, I haven't been exercising. Mm. But recently I've done it and I've joined the new gym and I'm now at a point where I'm playing tennis and I'm basically doing stuff that I physically cannot have my phone.
Yeah.
And that for me has now become a bit of meditation. And I think as long as I have that, like I'll go away. And to your point, like you're just always thinking, right? Mm. And actually you come back and you go, oh, maybe I've solved an issue. So it's helped.
Yeah.
But I think just being in a different environment with that can help.
Yeah.
I don't know whether I'm not quite at the point where I think I can have a hiatus from everything.
For sure. I always think like it's not about having a hiatus kind of for massive time, but it's like, I think having a down period where that stuff isn't there, or even like intense work periods where that's off, because I think it's such a distraction and it like saps. And we're in a era now where like there's no time to like empty the mind or like play with the mind.
Yeah.
And I actually think particularly with the role you'll have where like you kind of have to be the person thinking about the future, if you are always on that kind of short-term stuff, it kind of doesn't help. One thing which is like amazing flow state to be present is go-karting. Go-karting. We took the guys go-karting after that spell and it was like, I've never felt so present in my life. Even with my kids.
Yeah.
like kids great, love them a lot more than go karting, but in terms of presence of mind,
yeah.
Striving for that top spot.
I love it. I love it. I completely agree. I think it's fine at that flow state. I had a tennis lesson a couple of weeks ago, and my tennis instructor, I say tennis instructor as it's regular, like it was a one off, and he said to me, he was like, "You what do you do?" And I was like, "Oh, I run a snack business." And he was like, "You should do more lessons, mm-hmm. because there's never a time where you go along to an activity in the day to day where someone says, do this, do that.
Yeah.
Your forehand's not quite right. And you just can, for an hour,
yeah.
you're playing tennis, but you're also, someone's telling you what to
do.
And I found that really refreshing, actually. Yeah. Because I'd never thought about it like that.
He sounds like really wise.
Yeah, yeah, he was, man. And he was a good guy. I need to get another session, actually. Yeah. But, I don't think anyone's ever going to crack it. And I think I think the people that do crack it definitely don't do it first time round.
Yeah, no, for sure.
And that, but I think the drive, and it's such a hard one, but I think the drive is what has made you and Manny Life successful as well.
Yeah, for sure.
Quick one, I really want to talk to you about Bread and Jam. It's the UK's biggest community of food and drink founders and proud supporters of the Untold podcast. They run workshops, talks, network events and conferences that support emerging and scaling food and drink FMCG brands. Their main event, the jewel in their crown, is the Bread and Jam Festival in London each July. It's 2 days of jam-packed peer-to-peer knowledge, sharing where you can, learning from industry icons, meeting retailers, face-to-face pitching sessions, finding industry experts who can take your business to the next level, and the network till you drop. I have been the last few years, and I honestly cannot tell you how wonderful this event is. It oozes positivity. The energy in there is electric, and I've met some wonderful people there. I've had the privilege of sharing and chairing a couple of sessions there, and the whole thing is honestly, honestly, honestly unbelievable value for the cost of the ticket. Head over to their website, Bread and Jam, and I really hope I'll see you there. We are hosting an Untold live podcast from Bread and Jam this summer at the festival. So do come along and see us. And I really, really hope you guys sign up, because I honestly cannot explain how wonderful the event is. Cheers, guys.
It's funny, there's I'm gonna kind of butcher this, but there's another podcast, this yours will get this soon, I imagine, as well. It's called the High Performance Podcast.
Yep.
So I've come across such a twat. Like, don't ever see you. I want to be a high I also listen to Off Menu, which is a bit more light, but also incredible.
Yeah.
And Johnny Wilkinson has an episode on that. I like highly recommend anyone who's kind of in this situation to listen to it. And he talks about how for the first like 10 years of his career, he was in this spot that we're discussing, just like dark drive, fear of failure, like next game's the most important thing, never pause. And he got to the stage, kind of not that dissimilar to where I got, though obviously another level, where he was like number one fly half in the world, he'd won the World Cup, he'd won Shadows of other stuff, and he would be like afraid in the hotel room to come out and play because he was feeling so shit. And that was the period where, I'm not sure you remember, but he was like, he injured his knee like 7 times.
Yeah.
And it was only towards the back end when he was playing in France where it became a bit more explorative and enjoyable, and he was playing more for like, not the fun of it, but like the let's see.
Yeah.
That he started to really enjoy it. And I think when I was listening to it, I was kind of like, that's cool. But in the back of my mind, I was always wondering, like, do you think he would have got there to where he was without that initial bit?
Yeah.
And my initial reaction was definitely not. But then there is something so liberating and incredibly, ironically, high performance in the attitude of like, let's see. Let's just go out and do what we can do and give our best. And that whole like phrase, like, we'll give it our best shot, immediately triggers like, well, you're just a complete pussy. Like you're a loser. But which is not, I'm not sure that's help like necessary true or healthy either.
I completely agree. I completely agree. I think if you were to look at, and actually going the Lewis Capaldi documentary, I watched it the other day, amazing. Going back to that, linking in with this is when he is at his most creative, it's when he's going, fuck it, I'm just going to wait and see.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah.
Because and if you stifle creativity through, I need to write a book, I need to write a song, I need to make this pass to my winger so much better.
Exactly. Get a rate of sale up from like, exactly.
Yeah, you go like, well, how do I buy the book, get a rate of sale up? Whereas if you're walking around or I don't know, you could be in the shower when you're a little bit more relaxed and you go, fucking hell, okay, actually, there's a creative campaign here.
Yeah, got to go on that podcast by Harry.
Instantly going to drop. I tell you, Soph's going to be, she already would be, so you don't need this bloody podcast for that. But I think there's such a huge amount in there. Listen, I want to make sure that we keep these short and sweet for listeners. Talk us through what's next for Manny Life. What's on the cards apart from the obvious, which is Manny Life peanut butter in every household in the UK.
Yeah.
What's sort of on the immediate future?
So, I always give too much away, and the team whenever I come back or they hear this, they're like, "Gee, why the hell did you?" do that? So I'm going to try and be a bit controlled. I think, like, overarching goal is UK's favorite peanut butter brand, and then ironically when we get to that it'll be Europe's, and then we get to that it'll be the world's. But it's good to start closer. In terms of how we like break that down, it's most loved. So the way you measure that is highest net promoter score, but it's basically like creating the kind of the behavior of that is just creating as many joyful moments and interactions with as many consumers as possible, and then helping them share. So like your wife's a classic version, and that makes me very happy too. And the next bit is just best products and kind of do least harm.
Yeah.
In terms of what's next, we've had a pretty like disruptive spell with Louise being away. I had that time off. We've now like solidified the team. We've got solid foundation. We've obviously got loads of distribution to go after. We've got amazing innovation pipeline. But I guess in terms of future roundabout answer, we just want to create more and more like foodie, I guess, community moments besides the obviously like sales growth, innovation. And it's more about like creating that feeling that Manny Life is like a bring together, like banging foodie brand.
Love it.
And that was a very roundabout answer.
It feels like the brand has really come... I mean, it feels like everything is just aligned now. And are you now back to enjoying it?
I was chatting to Saz, my wife, about this a couple of weeks ago. This is the first time for like quite a while, or kind of kicked in about 3 months ago, where I've been like genuinely excited about the future. Because for a while it was just like shit, managing. But now I feel like we've got the foundation, the team. I'm in a better spot, better role. And I think we are going to absolutely like fucking fly.
Amazing.
And I rarely say that. So
yeah. Oh, mate, amazing. It's so nice to see. And I think it's a like kudos. I think I've been inspired by the brand. I've been inspired by you on many occasions. I think watching it is great. Having you on is wonderful. And yeah, man, keep rocking and rolling. One thing I need to do, which we're starting this series, and you're the first recording of this series, so you get to invite the first guest. If we were to host a dinner party, and you could invite anybody in the world, who would it be and why? And then at the end of the series, we'll have a 12 guest dinner party, and each guest will add a guest in.
God, wish you told. Well, you did tell me this before. Didn't
I don't think I did, because it was a spare of the moment this afternoon thing.
All right, that's such a good question, and probably if you asked me next week, I'd say something different. So, gonna go with three options, then we'll dial it in. So, option number one is Sir Alex Ferguson, because I'm a big United fan. Just moved to Manchester, saw him once. Actually, I was like, want to chat to him a bit more. He is like the kind of archetype of the leader that I think everyone wants to be, like adored, respected, somewhat feared, but not in like a way. Just like so composed and clearly like just absolutely elite. Flip of that is, and my wife will kill me for saying this because she's proper Mancunian, Jurgen Klopp.
Yeah.
Because he is like another level manager as well, but he has that kind of like more relaxed, like I kind of think he is the let's do what we do and let's see.
Yeah.
But again, like elite performer. And then less so now, actually, he's become a little bit annoying, but I still love him. Gary Neville.
Okay.
Just because I think he is like, again, like clearly very talented, but took his talents to like a complete other level. He clearly has the minerals to be super successful in anything. He's one of the few guys, I think, who's transitioned from like elite athlete into like genuinely elite businessman.
Yeah.
And I think he'd probably have quite interesting chat.
Yeah.
Just so long as he could like get in a few words in between the monologues.
Amazing.
But yeah, one of those three.
Okay, and then if we're narrowing it down to one.
I don't want to say Jurgen Klopp because I can't say it because Sal's going to kill me. I think probably Gary because I'd be a little bit scared of Sir Alex.
Amazing. So we've got our first guest in. Chloe, you've got that. We've got our first guest of the series for the dinner party. How fucking cool would it be if we actually could get these people together? Can you imagine the list of names that's going to come at the end of this? I mean, disclaimer, we're not going to be able to, but
work on Gary. I actually, so because live in Manchester, work in London quite a lot, I met him on the train, which is, again, is like awesome. Like he could be getting private jets, but he's on the Avanti West Coast train. So and he was sat in first class, to be fair. And I upgraded to premium economy so it could be a bit closer to him. And I, this is Gary, when you join us for dinner party, like, don't worry, it wasn't weird. But I remember being like, I need to go for a piss, like kind of the first class end. And I walked down and he got up and we went past each other.
Amazing.
He said hello back. He was like,
that's so good.
I was genuinely starstruck.
Did you pop a jar of Manny Life in his pocket?
I didn't, and I didn't because I didn't have any. And I always regret not carrying it. And if I had done, it would have been a no-brainer.
Yeah, yeah. Amazing. I'm sure he does. And if he doesn't, then he will be one day.
Yeah, right? So I think, I wouldn't be surprised.
Yeah, amazing. Stu, mate, it's been an absolute pleasure. Thank you so much for coming on Talk.
Thanks, Gary. And appreciate it.
Guys, we'll catch up soon. Thanks. Take care.
Thanks,
all the best. Ta-da.
Thank you so much for giving us your time and listening. I really hope you've enjoyed. If you have enjoyed, please, please, please do download, subscribe, tell your friends' friends, tell your friend's mum's dog. It all really helps us grow the podcast, ultimately bring on more guests, which will be able to get us to give across more tangible takeaways. Thank you so much again. I'm Harry Turpin, your host, founder of The Savourists. We love you lots. Take care. Keep jingling.